Oh, hello and welcome back to Snacks and Chats, carrying on with our MMA series. I'm not sure if you know that's what we've been doing, but that's what we've been doing. So
I watched Yuja's one.
Oh, you did? Oh, cool.
Yeah, yeah. He was the first one. So I'll watch Yuja's one and then...
Don't worry about Kaize. Don't worry about that.
None of them have anything interesting to say, so I didn't need to watch anyone else's. Yeah. Watch Yuja's. There'll be a bit of knowledge, but insight there.
Yeah.
Everyone else is just making noise.
But you're coming with the knowledge, right?
Yeah. We'll see how it goes, if I'm being honest.
So welcome to Dan the Hangman Hooker. I feel like we've got a lot to talk about in terms of upcoming fights and previous fights as well, specifically headlining the Auckland UFC show, so congratulations for that.
Thank you.
But first, I want to know a little bit more about you, the person. So... what we always ask people when they come on here is, when people ask you where you're from, what do you tell them?
Mount Roskill.
Mount Roskill.
I'm from Auckland. Yeah, I'm Auckland, born and bred. Grew up in Mount Roskill.
Do you reckon Mount Roskill kind of shaped you into the person you are today, or is that more like...
Yeah, people always ask me that. They're just like, oh, you know, did you get in like heaps of fights growing up as a kid? And like, my answer's always the same. No more than anyone else I was growing up with. It's not like I was fighting and everyone else was like not fighting.
Right, right.
Like, it's just what you do as like, I guess, a teenager in Auckland in the... guys that I kind of come up with, like they were all, we all had like a little bit of a aggressive streak or something that they wanted to get out.
What do you think that was?
I think it's just boys, it's just their nature. I think it's just like they go through that stage and it's just like kind of never left that stage. I kind of kept that aggressive nature and made a living out of it.
I think my other question is, when people ask you what you do, what do you tell them? And I imagine that might have changed over the years. You know, obviously you can tell them with your chest, you're a fighter and you're making money now, but was that harder to tell people sort of as you were coming up that that's what you do?
Yeah, of course. Like, that's like the main justification for things, is that you're able to make a living or how much money you make. Like, that's your justification to the general public about why you do something. And now people leave you alone. Like, as soon as you're in the UFC and you're getting UFC money, people leave you alone. They're like, oh, yeah, okay, he's like actually making a living, blah, blah, blah. But when you're coming up, especially when, you know, I knew from a very young age that this is what I wanted to do. When I first walked in the gym after my first session, I was finished my first session and I was just like, oh, well, guess this is my life now. Like, this is what I want to do. And I've stuck with it ever since. And I committed to it at a very young age that this is what I was going to do regardless. But then, you know, there wasn't even a New Zealander in the UFC or making a living from MMA in this country when I was 18 years old and decided that that's what I was going to do. So to justify that to your parents and to everyone else around you, the adults around you, I want to be a MMA fighter. And then first question, like, oh, yeah, like how many people were making? Oh, no one, but I reckon I might be able to be the first one. Like, that's a terrible business plan, so.
But it worked. So how old or how young were you when you went to that gym for the first time, and what drew you there?
I actually went to an MMA fight of a friend of mine, Steve Warby. He's like New Zealand heavyweight champ and he's still fighting at City Kickboxing to this day. And he was having his first MMA fight, first amateur MMA fight. So I just had no idea what it was. I think I'd seen it on the TV when I was like 15 or something, one of the Ultimate Fighters. Mm-hmm. And it was like two guys lying on top of each other and I was just stand up. I was like, this is boring. And then I changed the channel, like I was not interested in it. But then I followed him to his fight and was watching, and he knocked this guy's head off in like 10 seconds. And I was just like, I felt the crowd after that. Like, he just knocked his opponent out real early on. And I felt the crowd just erupt and I felt the energy. And I was like, man, like, I want this feeling. I want this feeling for myself. So then, you know, I nagged him, and then he was like, yeah, come to the gym with me. And I followed him to the gym the next week. And so when I first walked in the gym, I was just like, how do I knock someone out in a fight? Like, not even a lot of people dabble with the sport for a long period of time. They're like, they'll train, and then they've been training so long that they're like, oh, well, I may as well test out this knowledge or test out these skills that I work every day. But yeah, I just walked in and I was like, how do I excite crowds? Like, how do I... I always had that in my head. So I think it like fast-tracked me a little bit, because I always intended to compete. Like, that was my intention day one. And it's funny that people walk into the gym now and I think they're idiots when they're like... when they just tell me, nah, I haven't trained anywhere, but I want to knock someone out and I want to fight. Like, that's...
Yeah. I guess you know now what you know in terms of how difficult...
I would call myself an idiot if I walked into a gym.
Yeah, yeah. Because you know what it takes now, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Had I been 18 and seen the path and see what it took, I might have second-guessed it. But nah, I was all in from a very young age.
And what gym was that you... Because it wasn't
CKB,
right?
I've moved around quite a lot. So I first started with a coach named John Olson, and it was, I can't even remember the name of the gym. He was teaching out of a place. Paulo Sorriso was there. And it was a boxing gym just off Dominion Road, but they had jiu-jitsu and Muay Thai and MMA. So I went in and had a MMA session first off. So... yeah, people always ask me, like, what's your background? And, like, my first session was MMA. So, you know, and my first thing I learned was, you know, a double leg takedown. Like, this is a double leg takedown. And I was, like, trying to figure out the technique of it. And someone just like, it's just a rugby tackle. Just run and tackle the guy down. I started doing that, and the coach was like, oh, yeah, that's not that bad. And then he goes, all right, put the gloves on and we'll spar. And I was just like, oh, yeah, sweet. Like, it's my first day. And he's like, yeah, you'll be all good. Just put the gloves on. And I sparred off my coach, like, John Olson. I think he dropped me like 4 or 5 times with a body shot. He just kept, like, hitting me in the liver. Wow. And your body just shuts down. I was like, oh, like, down. And he's going, get up. I kept getting up. He dropped me again. Get up, drop me again, get up. And he told me years later, he's like, when you got up the fifth time, he's like, I might train this kid.
Shit. So the fourth time, not enough, but the fifth time, not enough.
He's like, this kid is either tough, very tough, or very dumb. And I feel like I'm a bit of both. And I feel like that's like the necessary mix to find some success in this.
Got to be smart too, though, right? Like, you got to know what you're doing.
Of course. I always tell my fighters, like, do as I say, not as I do, because they're always like, oh, I'll fight this, or I'll fight him, or I'll fight short notice. And I'm just like, no. So I'm a much smarter coach than I am a fighter.
I mean, but that's the coach's job, right? To protect
the fighter. Yeah, 100%. That's the only difference between a good coach and a bad coach, in my opinion. Like, a good coach will be able to test your character without doing any permanent damage, you know? Whereas a bad coach will test your character, test your will, but then also there'll be a bit of a toll to that, you know? A bit of a toll on your body, on your joints, on your brain. Like, there's a toll to be paid. Like, and I feel like that's the difference between a good coach and a bad coach.
You made your UFC debut in 2014 in Auckland. Can you remember that feeling of walking out for your first time in that Auckland stadium compared to this recent fight against Paul Felder as the headline act? Can you remember both those feelings and I guess the difference between then and now?
Yeah, there were a lot of differences. if I'm being honest, like, when I first got signed, I think it was like 4 or 5 weeks out from the event when I got in contact with the UFC. Like, I didn't get a contract till like 4 weeks out from the event for my debut. So it was like it was just a whirlwind. Like, I had no time to process it. I had no time to be like, all right, like mentally prepare for something. There was no time for that. I just focused and trained as hard as I could in that short amount of time and just went out there and was just all in. Like, I just slid my chips across the table and I was like, this is it. Like, I'm either all in or all out. I'm not going to go out there and get embarrassed in front of 10,000 people that live in my city. Like, and I went out there and I was telling, because the opponent was like a heel hook specialist,
yeah,
which is like, it can do some pretty serious damage to your knee if you don't tap to it. So I was telling myself before the fight, like, I drilled it as much as I could, trained as hard as I could in that short amount of time. But I was telling myself, like, if you get caught in the heel hook, right, tap, like, just tap. You know, come on, it's not like worth it. You can have another go. Like, you got a 4-fight contract. Like, you don't need to sit out for 6 months. I was telling myself, please, wow, come on, Dan, all you need to do is tap. And then when we were dry early on, like, he jumped for the heel hook, he comes back, and that was on. Like, it was on. He had my heel hooked, and he started cranking it. And I could hear my knee popping. Like, it started cracking. It was, like, cracked, like, 4 or 5 times. Like, real, quite loud. Like, the ref was even like, oh, man. Like, he's stretching. And I remember thinking in my head, and I go, fuck that. I was like, I didn't listen to that voice at all. I was just like, fuck that. Like, he can break my leg. I'm going to pull it out and I'm going to kick him with it. Like, I'm just not tapping. And that has been something that's happened to me. Every time I've been in a situation like that, and I've always told myself that the day I'm in a fight and I get put in there and that little voice in my head says, oh, just tap out. Like, that's the day I'll just be like, oh, the fire's gone. Like,
when you do that tap, that's of, when you know.
That right. Part of me is done, you know, like, when I start questioning myself or that fight in you, you know, that fight in you is gone. I feel like that's when I'll be happy to walk away. But she's still there for sure. She's still there.
That's incredible hearing that, because you're so calm and it's for so long. He's got that, like, it went for ages. I was just like, wow, you're so calm. Like, you must know it's not in or something, you know? Like, you're just like,
it was like, oh, he's doing a good world defending. I was like, nah, it's already like, it already popped like 4 or 5 times. Yeah, like, he had already. I'm pretty flexible, so I was able to.
It was those long.
And then
limbs.
I wanted some payback.
Yeah. That was great. And so, was there any moment in that Felder fight then? I mean, it was a tough 5 rounds, right? So, were you like, oh yeah, just give up now?
Nah, definitely not.
So that's like a big difference then.
Yeah, definitely
maybe.
Not.
Yeah.
Like, I just knew what I was in for, like, leading into that fight. You know, the main difference between that first debut fight and then the Felder fight was I knew exactly what I was in for. That's my 14th fight in the UFC. So I knew what to expect. I knew the process leading into it about fight week. Like, I've done it 13 times already before. Like, I knew exactly what was going to happen, so I had a good amount of time to mentally ready myself for that, ready myself for the walkout, ready myself for everything, for fight week, for weigh-ins. Like, you need to take that all into account, because been doing it so long that you can't just, like, if you just block it out, you don't really get to enjoy it. So if I'm mentally ready myself for it, then I can experience it and enjoy it and have a bit of fun.
Was it fun?
It's fun. Like, yeah. I love it. It's crazy. Like, anything that gets that fire going and gets you, like, excitement, you know? Mm. As soon as I hate it when the fight ends. Like, that's when you get a little bit depressed after a fight, because you're like, as soon as the fight's finished, you're like, oh, like, now
it's back to normal.
Everything's going. Yeah. Like, I love everything about it. I love the hard training. Like, I love it. Like, nothing pushes you, your and tests your character and tests your will, like the training, you know. But then you get a week off to hang out, just cut weight, do a little bit of training and do all the media and things like that. And then having thousands of people with the weigh-ins, you know, that was cool. All your friends and family, like, sending you support, and then to go out there, the walkout, everything. So I'm just glad now that I got to experience it, you know? Like, I didn't have to block it out. I was able to both enjoy it, stay calm, and then also get the job done.
It must have felt amazing. Like, I remember when you were signing the stuff for the fans in Altair Square. You know, I'd never seen that before for local
fighters.
Yeah, well,
I was at the first one, you know, like, because there's been three events. I fought on all three of the events. The first one, it was like down in the waterfront. I don't even know if the building's still there, but it was just like not that big of a room. There was like a handful of people. I was getting asked questions by like one guy and answered. There was like two people from the media there. There was like 10 people in the room. A couple of them, I think, just walked in by accident. Like there was like no one there. And I was so nervous. Like I was like, oh man, I'm in the UFC. Like I was like freaking out and like panicking. And then Altair Square, like loved it. Got to soak it in. And that's like 1,000 people there.
Mm.
Go out there, like hit some pads, throw some gear out, sign some stuff, like have fun. You can just, you just take the energy.
Yeah.
Same as the walkout weigh-in. Open workouts, like you take the energy from the crowd. Even in like interviews. Because if you're like putting on a character or you're like, okay, I need to entertain them. Like that really burns like a lot of energy if you're trying to put on a show for people. It's, even in interviews, like you sit down with someone and you're trying to impress them and you're trying to put on a show, like it just burns energy. And that's all energy which you need to save for the fight.
Right.
So I look at it a different way now. When I do interviews, like, They'll give you energy if they, you know, they ask insightful questions and they're genuinely interested. Like, you'll be able to feel that and you can like respond with your energy. Same from the crowd. You get it from the crowd rather than having them drain you. Same as a walkout. Like, you feel it when you walk out and you can use that in a fight. And when everyone's cheering throughout the fight, like, you can use that in the fight rather than looking tough and looking tough and getting tired at the end of the day.
Yeah, because you're too much in your head
doing that,
right?
100%.
I love that the crowd was shouting, what it was, fuck him up?
Yeah. I heard it. I was like, fuck, I'm trying. I was like, he's tough, these gingers are tough, man. Like,
actually, I feel silly now having asked you like if you felt like giving up with the Felder thing, because I watched your Barboza fight, which was like, if there was any fight to fucking give in, that would have been it, and you didn't once, like, holy shit, that was hard to watch though.
Yeah, everyone says that, and I'm like, motherfucker, I was in there.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I was like,
okay. Sorry. I mean, my mates, like, sit down. It was really hard to watch, man. And I was like, what? Sitting on your couch, drinking beers, eating chips. That was hard to watch. I was like, I was in there. I was like, getting kicked apart.
Sorry.
Nah, I'm joking. It wasn't bad at all. I actually enjoyed it, if I'm being honest.
Oh, that's good.
I don't know. That's like a weird enjoyment.
I was wondering if you ever felt like running that one back. Like, do you know?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
100%. I wanted him to beat Felder, because Felder and Barboza fought.
Do you think Felder won that? Do you think Barboza won that?
I guess like, you can get arguments for both. You can get arguments for both. Like, a lot of the scoring is, a lot of it's left up to like, perspective from the individual judges. So it could have gone any way. Had Barboza been the winner of that fight, I would have called for that fight
to main event
Auckland. Like, that was it, but... Am I gonna push a higher ranked fighter to the side to go back and get some revenge? Like, that's a bit pointless. And now he's down at featherweight. But 100% would I run that back? Like, I'd run it back 1,000 times. Like, that's.
Yep. Do you know? I mean, you obviously feel like you could get the win the next time. You know what to do now.
Wink, wink, babe. Yeah. Like, of course I think I can beat him. Like, I'm not going to rematch him to get my ass whooped again.
Yeah, stupid question.
There's no such thing as a stupid question. How about that?
Yeah, I'll take that. did any of that with the Felder, you know, the split decision, did any of that sort of controversy bother you at all afterwards?
Yeah, I know, like, people were getting, like, stuck up on it, and it's just, like, the way that the internet goes. Mm. But for that moment, I wouldn't have it any other way. Like, I wouldn't switch that with the knockout if I could, you know, if I could press a button right now, go back in time, and instead of getting that split decision, have a knockout in like the first 10 seconds of the fight, I don't think I would. Like, I definitely wouldn't do it. Like, to go the full five rounds and experience that preparation, the lessons I learned from that will help me going forward into the future. But the whole thing was cool. Like, going the whole five rounds, like, the crowd was just on the edge of their seat the whole time. They were excited the whole time. To go out there and put on a fight of the night, and then to come down to that moment where it's standing there and they go, like, one judge to you, like, one judge to him, and then they read out the score and they're like, winner by a split decision. And it's just the relief in it, and the moment I felt like I just sat down and soaked it all in, and I was just so relieved, because so much energy went into preparing for that. Like, I went all in on that. So much energy went into preparing for that fight and getting ready that I wouldn't, yeah. That moment was cool. Like, that moment where they're calling all the numbers out, like, get the split decision. Then I could feel that relief, and I could finally rest for the first time in 3 months.
Yeah, shit. You talked about after such big fights, or after all fights, there is that little bit of, like, the sadness that it's over. Did you feel that, maybe even more acutely this time, because it was so much larger than the rest?
I think just the type of fight it was. I enjoyed the rest. Like, that's why when people get, like, real... let's go back to the, like, Barboza fight. Like, people get real, like, oh, that was, like, a massive loss. Like, that must have hurt to pick yourself back up from that. But, like, I drive myself insane with this sport. Like, I think about it every minute of every day, and training and doing this and doing that. Like, I obsess over it. Like, you have to be this successful at something, like, you actually have to obsess over it. And so I've been obsessing over this sport for, like, 10 years leading into that fight. And after that fight was, like, the first time that I'd actually had a legitimate rest. Like, that's the longest layoff since I walked in the gym that I'd ever had. And I feel like it was, like, a complete reset. And it's the, like, reason for my future success. Like, none of my losses I would take back. I wouldn't take back any of them, because the lessons that I learned from them, I'm going to use in the future. I'm going to use in the future, because there's going to be more losses. Like, I can guarantee you, I'm going to run this till the wheels fall off. Trust me. Like, there's going to be plenty more hard times. But after that fight, like, people talking about it as a loss. Like, I bought my first house after that fight. After that fight, I had a good amount of time off, like, had a rest for my body, bought my first house. Like, that's a win to me. Like, all I had to do was go in there and experience that, and then I get to move forward with my life outside of the cage. Like, it's not a loss to me. Like, it's just it's a win in my book.
I remember even before the fight, you were very philosophical about people were asking you if you thought you could win, and you're like, oh, it's 50-50, maybe I win, maybe I lose, I don't know. Like, you never know.
Yeah, that's, like, the way I approach every fight, just because I've done, you know, you try to be, like, another fighter, and you'll be like, I'm going to be this undefeated, indestructible monster. Like, it's just not the mindset that works well for me. The best mindset that works for me is to go out there and feel very human and respect my opponent's abilities, know that he can knock me out, know that he can beat me, know that he's trained hard, and that gets that adrenaline flowing in me and it brings out the best in me.
Hearing you talk about, you know, the wins and losses and, you know, taking the time to come back from that, people always compare sport or say sport as a metaphor for life. Do you feel that way?
The sport has helped me to develop my character for sure, 100%. Like, there's not a lot in this day and age that can test you, like going out there and training for a fight like that and going out there and competing. Nothing else I have found has tested my character to the same extent as that. And that's what draws me to it so much, is that just test, like, have I still got it? Like, is it still there? Am I still, you know, is that fire, is that drive still there? And so I like to go out there and get in hard fights and be pushed and be challenged in the gym, just so I know that it's still there. And yeah, it's tough to find that outside of sport.
Is it lonely when you're fighting in the octagon? Does it feel lonely? You've got your team, you've got your coaches. They can only do so much by the time you get in there. It's just you and the other guy, right?
It's just one guy.
Just one guy.
We're just having a little bit of alone time. it's only one guy at the end of the day. He weighs the same as me. He's roughly the same size. I've done like a lot worse, you know, if I would fight heavier guys, fight bigger guys, you know, guys with more experience in the past, and that to me is equally as exciting, but it's pretty safe. It's pretty tame in my opinion, compared with some of the stories we get from, you know, the infancy of the sport. Before it was regulated and before it was like controlled the same as it is now, like I feel like it was a much more dangerous game. But I feel like now it's a pretty controlled. I don't want to say safe. I'll say controlled environment.
There's rumors swirling around a June 27 fight. Dana, I saw him say on ESPN, it's pretty close to being made. What can you tell us about the Poirier
fight?
When
does the podcast come out?
When can you confirm it?
When can I confirm it?
I was curious as to how that's all going to work. Are they going to give you, if the fight is agreed?
Allegedly. All you have to say
allegedly. Israel's favorite word. if this alleged fight were to happen, how would they get you there?
America announced a week ago or the start of this week that there's like a pro athlete exemption for visas. So they'll be able to get me a visa. Like that was announced, you know, Dana White has a hand in all of that. So the UFC is very confident that they can get me a visa. And in terms of like quarantine, I just go over at the normal time. Like people from Australia and New Zealand traveling to the US don't need to be quarantined. So we don't even, once we arrive in the US, we don't even need to be quarantined. It's coming back.
Yeah, it's coming
back. That was going to suck. Like,
yeah, you got
to
stay
as
away.
As long as I don't have to go in those government hotels. Like, and maybe I'm like, fingers crossed that even I can just go back and go to my own empty home. Like, that would be great.
Is your wife and kid going to go somewhere else?
Well, she's going to Australia to see some family. Like, as soon as the Trans-Tasman bubble opens, like, she'll shoot over there. So in, like, five weeks' time or 4 weeks' time, like, hopefully that's a thing. So she can shoot over there. I can sit in my house. That's, like, dream state. But what it looks like is we're going to have to sit in a government hotel for a week and wash my undies in the sink.
I feel like you've probably done that before anyway, right?
I've been poor before.
Why do you want this fight? What is it about Poirier that excites
you? It's moving
you?
Forward. It's towards the title. Like he's another ranked guy that's he's a higher ranked fighter that's ahead of me. Like I want his head. I wanted to rip his head off. Like, any of them that get in the way, that's why I have no, like, qualms about showing people. It's just my intensity for what I want. Like, it's not, like, when I say I'm going to smash your face in, like, that's not even a, like, I'm putting on a show or, like, just making a bunch of lines. Yeah. And, like, I would yell in his face that I intend to rip your head off. Like, if I could physically rip your head off, I would rip your head off. Like, that's... And I'm just, I'm like not being disrespectful. Like, I'm just showing my intentions coming into the fight. Like, I just, like getting in Paul Felder's face. Like, I'm just showing my intensity. I'm showing the fans who are watching, the people that are going to tune in and watch this fight, like what this means to me. Like, I'm prepared to rip this boy's head off. That's the intensity that I'm bringing into the fight. And that's something that comes very naturally to me. Like, I don't have to put on any kind of show for that.
What do you think of the matchup between you two, or how you like the matchup? His Holloway fight, his Gaethje fight, it was pretty impressive from him.
He's all right. He's all right. He's all right. Like, that's, I think, yeah, like the match is good for me. Like, it's going to be like a 5-week camp for that match. Like, I like the matchup. Like, I would fight Dustin Poirier any day of the week. Like, that's, I think stylistically, it's a pretty tough fight for him coming into it.
Why?
Because he eats shots. Like, he eats shots. He's like happy to eat a shot to give a shot.
I feel like that's you as well, right? You.
Yeah, but I can. Yeah. Let's go then. Like, give me that kind of fight. Yeah, you want to eat my shots? Yeah. You want to eat my shots? You want to eat my knee to the face? Like, that's fine. You'll eat one of those, then I'll pack my bags and sit in my hotel room. Like, that's done. That's how I go into the fight. Like, he's gonna try and punch me. I'm gonna try and knee his head off. I'm gonna knee his head off. I'm gonna pack my shit. I'm going to sit in a hotel for 2 weeks and I'm going to enjoy myself back in New Zealand, the greatest country in the world.
That sounds like a great plan.
It's a plan. It's a plan.
And what else? You've got, how's your combat academy going? How's that going?
Good. Yeah. It's mean that it's opened up. Like, it can all get back to usual now. Like, just good to see all the people again. Like, we got a cool little community down there, like, of people, and it was real exciting to get back in there and teach. Like, I love to teach as much as I love to learn, and you know, it's all one and the same. Like, setting them all up for fights, and like, that's exciting. Training them all for fights, like, it, challenging anyone. You know, that's the thing. Like, you don't have to walk in the gym and be like, oh, I'm going to be world champion. Like, I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to challenge you, like, regardless of your goal. Like, if your intention is, like, never to fight, like, I'm going to push you. I'm going to make you uncomfortable. That's it. Whatever your threshold of comfort is, I'm going to challenge that and I'm going to push that. And that's, you know, if you're 150 kilos walk in the gym and I'm going to push you and I'm going to test you. Like, I don't intend to break you. I'm going to, there's like a fine line between breaking and comfort zone. And I like to push people to that zone.
I imagine you learn things as you're teaching, you're learning along the way too, right? There might be things you realize as a coach that you hadn't realized as a fighter, and that helps you. This is such a mangled way of saying it, but
that's bang on. So, like, I'll do something with my coaches, Eugene or Twist. Like, they'll give me something. Like, we're gonna do this technique, and we do this set technique. Let's say I'm gonna step right and throw a right hand. Like, then I will take that before I've mastered it myself, or I'm learning it and I'm not quite sure about it. I'll take it, I'll teach it. And then you've got, say, a class of 30 people. That's 30 different body types, that's 30 different ranges. That's seeing 30 different people do it. And you can look at him and going, well, this is not working because he's doing this wrong and he's doing this wrong and he's doing this wrong. And they're all doing little things wrong differently. And so then I can go back, and when I'm doing it myself, I remember the corrections that I'm giving to other people. So you're 100%... teaching is part of learning, 100%.
And you mentioned before the Poirier fight is just another step to the ultimate goal, which is the championship.
Yeah, like you, I want to win the title. I want to be champion. That's the prize I've been chasing the whole time.
Not just in it, just for the like for the laugh, say it's the championship.
Yeah, 100%. Like if you're not in the UFC to win the title, like you will get found out real quick. Like you have to be in the UFC with the ability to win the title. And that's just the way, it's funny the way that the sport is marketed to me. Like I think it's funny. Like they try to build people into like superheroes. They try to build people into like larger than life. Like they show you a little highlight reel. That's why they love like undefeated so much. Like Khabib, like undefeated. Mm. And they show like a highlight reel and he looks like this unstoppable monster and people are just, you know, he's larger than life. And that's not what the sport is to me. You know, anyone in the top 50 could be Khabib on a given day.
Yeah.
Like they're all a threat. You know, if he didn't take someone in the top 50, top 100 in the world seriously, he would lose to them. Like everyone needs to be, skills need to be respected and taken seriously. I see it more as, you know, both people can be hurt, both people can be knocked out, and we're testing their wills against each other. Like that's the way that I look at the sport and approach the sport, rather than the way it's kind of marketed at the moment, which I don't. It's not why I love the sport, you know, to see undefeated fighters, larger than life characters. I love it for the test of human character.
I feel like MMA or the UFC is not as bad as boxing, for example, where that seems like the undefeated thing seems to be the be all and end all. It is nice seeing champions. It's not nice, but you see people lose a lot in the UFC.
Well, we can even look at like Justin Gaethje. Like he got stopped with punches like back to back, three fights ago four fights ago, and now we go out there and see him beat
Ferguson.
Tony half to death in over five rounds, like completely outclass him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And three fights ago, he got stopped twice in a row with punches. Like he's not an indestructible character, but now people, if you watch the sport long enough, you wake up to that idea and you're just like, oh, okay, I'll go back and actually watch like Khabib's fights. Oh, that was a close one. Or you go back and like, oh, that was a split decision, but I think the other guy could have had that fight. Like you go back and you actually watch a fight and not a highlight reel, and you see it for what it is. Like you see the reality of it.
Is there anything else you want to add or talk about? Or
I talk plenty.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Wrap it up.
So wrap it up.
Unless you want to say, impart us with any final words of wisdom.
That's enough wisdom. You've drained me. You've drained me of
I've taken your energy.
All my smart words. Like I've used all my smart words. Now I'm going to go home.
Have a nap.
Recover. Yeah. Clap some rocks together. And that's me.
Get up to say some smart words
I will not say
again.
Anything smart for the rest of the day. It's all gone.